Hey, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business ideas, practices, and strategies while we enjoy a cup of coffee. And today, we've got a really exciting guest, Tanya Lyon, and she is into one-on-one coaching, to group coaching, anything and everything about coaching, how to hold you accountable, how to help you make your own decisions better. It's going to be a really interesting conversation, and we'll also address the reason why I'm holding sun-made California sun-dried raisins. It's going to be a fun conversation today, so join us.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break. Oh, yeah.
All right, welcome back. Tanya, thank you very much for being here today. We're excited. I did want to tell this quick story before we get started. We're going to jump into rapid fire. It's
okay.
Five randomly selected questions just to get under your skin.
So random.
Unknown point values.
Sure.
So you don't really know where you're going to line up. But anyways, I did want to tell a quick story. And we were talking about this before. Many, many years ago, whenever I worked in radio, I used to, one of my responsibilities was to simulcast the WBTV evening news at 6 o'clock. I had to make sure that it lined up right on the dot. I had to hit the commercial breaks, all those things, you know, really, really big in the broadcasting. And there was a co-anchor there at the time, Tanya Bendixson.
Mm-hmm, that was me.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting that we're sitting at the table together.
It is very fun. And I can't wait to see how this goes. I'm nervous, okay? I told you already that I feel much more confident asking questions than I do answering them.
Yep.
So,
and we don't have teleprompters in here, so I mean.
We're flying blind.
So, and we'll get into this more, but you've been out of the news world for.
About 10 years.
About 10 years now. So that's old school.
Yeah.
Moving forward into other stuff. And we'll talk about all of those things. But we do have to get rapid fire out of the way because that's just part
of it.
I'm ready. All right. Number one, what can you do today that you were not capable of 1 year ago?
Playing the piano.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You learned to play the piano in the last year?
A little bit, yes.
A little bit.
I have actually two things. But
okay.
Should I say both
sure,
of
go
them?
Ahead.
I can we do
have
a
no,
little.
There's not a lot of no rules around this yet.
Oh, I love this. This is going to be great. I learned to play the piano. Okay. I'd always wanted to play the piano. I used to sing, but I never knew piano, so I started learning. I'm terrible at it.
Okay.
I can only play like plunking, you know, like
sure.
Silent Night and, you know, plunking around. And I also learned improv. Because as a communicator, I started feeling like I needed to learn a new way to communicate.
Gotcha.
And I had recognized that I used to say no but a lot.
Okay.
And improv teaches you how to say yes and. So more collaborative kind of communication.
That's very interesting. Yeah, that's a very, I've heard that before, but essentially picking up a new skill set to help, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm enjoying it a lot.
Piano. I took piano lessons when I was a kid.
Yeah?
Yeah, not voluntarily. It was just part of what I had to do.
Never happens that way. Mom makes us,
I do know where middle C is.
Good.
So.
And that's as far as you go? I can teach you how to play Silent Night.
I think I can. I still know a few chords, but it's not worth it. All right. Number two, what is one thing you would most like to change about the world?
I'd like every child to have a parent. I'd really wish that that kids could grow up with parents that love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when I was growing up, my heart was broken early and often for broken families.
Yeah.
And so I love to help kids, and I wish that kids could have families.
Oh, that's a great answer. Number three, if you could only eat at one restaurant forever, what restaurant would it be? We were talking about diet and exercise earlier, so no pressure.
Roussan's. I would eat sushi all day, every day.
Well, sushi, I'm down with. Roussan's is not my favorite.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of great sushi.
There is a lot of great sushi.
You know,
Roussan's is
it's the closest one to right here, and so it was the first one I thought.
Yeah,
of.
Yeah. It's just so over. Now, have you? There's a new sushi place, Rock and Roll or something like that.
Ooh.
Oh, you got to check
better?
It out.
Better?
Well, I would say it's probably equal in quality.
Okay.
But they do have the conveyor belt that brings the sushi around
what?
You. So you never have to get out of your seat.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. That's exciting. That's all awesome. Right. Number four, what is the strangest family tradition in your family? We're coming up on the holidays. So what's the strangest family tradition?
oh man, I'm going to need to come up with something strange because I don't think we're that
just
strange.
You're just all normal.
Yeah, it's pretty normal. Although this might be strange. We open up one gift on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And then I have two kids, two boys. I have two kids here at home, age 12 and 15. And then I have a daughter who's an adult.
Gotcha.
But the two kids at home, they will bring their stockings in and open up their stockings, but then we open up all the other things later. That is not that strange.
Yeah.
The thing that I put in there is a little bit strange. It's always pajamas, and so it's not like it's really a surprise. They always know.
Oh, in the
Christmas Eve gift is always pajamas.
Yeah,
it's boring. I need something a little. What is the strangest thing?
This is not how this works.
Come on, please. I need ideas.
We don't have any. I wouldn't say we really have any traditions, but we have started over the last couple of years migrating away from gifts.
Yeah.
On Christmas.
Yeah.
And like this year, I'm really pushing. I'm not even having a Christmas tree, but we're doing experiences.
Nice.
So spending time with the kids, doing something, and not just about opening up presents.
Yeah, we've done that before too. I love that. That's great. Go on a little Santa Express train or whatever.
Yeah.
Go ice skating.
Just not having to buy presents is really what I was trying to get at.
Is that it? Are you cheap? Is that what this is about?
No. All right, last one. Number five. What interesting skill do you want to learn? So you said you've learned some new skills this year, but.
Yeah. I think I would like to be able to brew the perfect cup of coffee. Can you help me with that?
I may not be able to, but we have the people
that
can.
You have people that can?
Oh, yeah. That's something that we can definitely help out with. All right. So you passed the rapid fire questions, five randomly selected questions, a score 846.
Wow.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And the highest is 847?
No. Again, randomly selected. I don't even remember all the point values. It's completely made up. So thank you very much for doing that.
You're sweet.
That just tries to let us get to know you a little better without asking you to tell us about yourself. So you're here.
Yes.
We were talking about it earlier. You've been out of television broadcast for a while.
Yeah.
What have you been up to for the past 10 years?
Wow. That's a big question. I have been changing the world, honestly. Yeah. So I went to work for Elevation Church after leaving WBTV. I knew as a mom of two beautiful boys that I wanted my life to look a little different. And I felt like, honestly, like God was calling me to something different.
Sure.
And Elevation was just starting out at the time.
Yeah.
And we went to our first worship experience. Pastor Stephen was still singing. And there was 160 people packed into the Matthews, the Levine Senior Center, actually, is what it was called. So Elevation started in a senior center, which is pretty funny to think about now. But I've spent the past 10 years working with Elevation Church in many different job titles. The one that I spent the most time doing was as outreach director. So I got a chance to help build our outreach programs. And it's pretty exciting to look back at it now because we just crossed the $50 million mark of giving towards outreach programs in the Charlotte area and around the world.
Yeah.
And I got to start those partnerships and help to build those partnerships. And it's been really, really fun.
So just to kind of dive into that a little bit more, because just for context for anybody that's listening or watching that doesn't know what Elevation Church is. I remember the announcement when you announced that you were leaving WBTV, and it was like, because again, as you just said, it was kind of a new thing, and it was like, this is an interesting pivot. Now seeing it, it's pretty incredible what has been accomplished. But Elevation Church started out as a very small gathering. What was it, 11, 12 families or something like that?
It was eight families.
Eight families.
Yeah.
And now it's 20, coming up on 20 locations all across the
country. Yeah, 20 locations. We'll open up our 20th location in Orlando this next year. And we have more people watching online than we even do butts in seats in the Charlotte area and around the area. So I think our numbers now are around 25,000, but then 10 times or more that online. So, and you know the power of that because of what you get to do here.
Well, it's incredible because you're able to connect with people, but from an outreach perspective, I think it's very interesting to see how, I guess the impact that you've been able to be connected with for that many number of years and be able to reach out into the community. So you know, a couple of the themes that we have around here are, you know, building community, leadership, and all those types of things. That is specifically that, you know, I mean, leveraging the power of community to reach out into the community is pretty impactful.
Yeah. And partnership. You know, I can remember when we first started out as a church, I went to Pastor Stephen and I said, what are we going to do to serve the poor? How are we going to help the hungry? In Pastor Stephen's way, he said, if that breaks your heart, then why don't you help us figure it out?
Yeah.
And so getting a chance to be a part of that from the very beginning has been pretty awesome. And yes, we couldn't have grown to that level without partnership, without community. Without linking arms with incredible nonprofits in this area and around the world who know how to do the work and do it well. And we just get to come alongside them and serve, volunteer. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible and exciting to see it from whatever level, but just kind of watching it unfold over time. And then to see the impact year over year over year is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not what we're here to talk about today, but
okay.
I did want to get
it's
a little
part
bit of
who I am,
yeah, but
sure.
a little bit of context to kind of where we're at. So, on your website, it says we are all learners living an unscripted life. What does that mean?
So, as you know, I used to work at WBTV News, and I had a teleprompter, and most of what I read was very scripted.
Yeah.
And I can remember having children too, right? You're a parent, right?
Yes. Yep.
So, don't you often wish there was a script that you could follow so that you didn't mess them up, right?
Yep.
I can just remember feeling like, can somebody tell me how to do this life thing? Can somebody tell me how to do this parenting thing? And what I began to recognize was even if God knows what our life is supposed to look like, we're living it in an unscripted way.
Yeah.
And so I'm giving myself permission more and more to accept that I'm not perfect and my symphony is not going to be finished even by the time I die.
Yeah.
So we're living an unscripted life. We're all learners along the way. And I want people to give themselves permission to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I love about improv. There are no mistakes
in
improv. So whatever I say, wherever I take the story, you pick up and you keep going.
You just have to keep going with
you
it.
You have to keep going with it, yeah.
So with that, I'm interested in the unscripted life part. So, you know, obviously there isn't a playbook. There isn't something that you can just say, all right, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
This is how I'm supposed to handle this situation. So what is your philosophy or what are you learning on how you're adapting to that? So, you know, it's okay to make mistakes. How do you learn from that? And how do you apply that to the next iteration?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the most important questions you can ask yourself on any given day is, am I willing to be changed by life? Every day when you wake up in the morning, am I willing to be changed by life? Because I'm being changed by life whether I want to or not.
Yeah.
I'm getting older. I'm learning every day. We're all being changed. But am I willing?
Yeah.
Am I willing to be changed by life? Am I willing to make shifts in my own perspective so that I can continue to grow and thrive? And to be honest, I think that's what led me to shift from working at Elevation to what I'm doing now. My husband's still on staff at Elevation Church. Elevation is still our church. No one could wrestle that away from me. I love it, and I love what I've been able to be a part of. However, what I learned was at age 53 now, I know that God says the best is yet to come for my life.
Sure.
But I also knew that if that was going to be true, I was going to have to make some changes in my habits. And that's what being a learner is all about. Really examining our thoughts, examining our habits, and trying to decide, is this still who I want to be?
Yeah.
I have eaten, and I'm going to use you as an example.
Yeah.
You had almond butter for breakfast this morning.
It's very regular,
right?
Yes.
Right, right. So if you had almond butter for breakfast this morning, do you want to keep having almond butter? Sometimes we get in a rut and we just keep doing the same thing over and over again, oatmeal for breakfast every morning, and we wonder why we're tired by 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It's the oatmeal.
Yeah.
Anyway, It's the oatmeal. It's the carbs. But it's important, I think, to have someone walking alongside of you that's not going to judge you, mm-hmm. but is going to help you unpack your life in a way that helps you become who you want to be. Am I becoming my best self?
So growing up, this is very interesting to me. Growing up, I was surrounded by a lot of people that were saying, these are the rules, these are the do's, and these are the don'ts.
Yeah.
And what you just said was having someone to run alongside of you to help encourage you and challenge you on basically at every step versus here are the rules, stay within these lines.
Yeah.
Which is a completely different philosophy. And it does take you to a point where you have to evolve over time because mm-hmm. you're challenging each decision. Why did I make that decision? What values am I holding true that forced me to make that decision?
Yeah.
And then you start going in this whole different path.
Yeah. So that's great. That's why I think it's so important to start with your values and really understand what your values are and what your beliefs are.
Yeah.
Because some of us do, we just run along taking our parents' beliefs. Yeah. And making them our own, taking, beliefs we see from the world, right? Things that we see on TV, on social media, and we run as if that's really ours. But is it?
Yeah.
And if each of us isn't taking time for ourselves, it's really a self-care thing, taking sure. time for ourselves to say, what are my values? Who do I really want to be? Not just who am I already because of my parents and my background, but who do I want to become? I think that's a really important question to ask.
Yeah, and once you, I would imagine once you get to that point and as you're starting to unlock that, it's very freeing. At the onset, it sounds a bit overwhelming, a bit scary.
Yeah.
But once you go through that process, it's like, okay, I've defined this for me, for my family, whatever, for my world.
Right.
And now this is something that I can really get behind rather than just, again, something that's been handed off to you, some values that have been handed off, some rules or regulations that have been handed off that you have no buy-in and no validity in carrying them out.
Yeah.
So getting into some of the different things that you're working on right now, from a coaching standpoint, how are you helping people kind of think through that process? So you say, okay, we've got an individual here in one of the different areas that you're coaching, but Is that your first challenge is go back to the values? Let's go essentially rebuild the basics, the fundamentals.
Can I try an experiment with you?
Uh-oh.
Okay, I guess so. I brought you a present.
Okay,
I brought you a present. This is a box of raisins.
Sun-made raisins, California sun-dried raisins.
Yes, it's a very and if I gave you this box of raisins, what do you even like raisins? Let's start there.
Sure.
You like raisins?
I like
okay?
them in my oatmeal.
You like them in your oatmeal. But when was the last time you ate a raisin all by itself?
It's been a while.
Right?
Yeah.
And usually would you take this box of raisins and would you, how would you eat this box of raisins?
How would I eat the box of raisins? Mm-hmm. Well, see, they're sun-dried raisins, so they're a little sticky. So you'd have to get in here and get a couple of them together. So.
Right. But you would probably never just eat one, right?
No. Couple of handfuls and probably down the rest of the box.
Uh-huh. So one of the things that I'm learning is that we're not really good at savoring one thing at a time.
Mm.
And what I love to do with people is to slow them down and really begin to enjoy life one raisin at a time, one experience at a time, one breath at a time, even, which sounds a little crazy because we're very busy people and we have a lot of things to get done.
Yep.
So slowing down to eat just one raisin at a time, that seems kind of crazy.
Well, in a world of multitasking,
that
is very, very, very difficult or I guess a big challenge because, but how do I slow down and take one thing at a time when my phone's buzzing and I've got this notification and I'm supposed to be in this meeting and I'm on my way here, but I'm driving in traffic, so I need to make sure that I'm listening to this while I'm doing, like, that's life. Slowing down, stopping, and one thing at a time. How are you getting
people? So you just said that's life.
Yeah, that is life.
That's life as it has always been for you. Mm-hmm. Is that who you still want to be tomorrow?
It's a good question.
So this
is the challenge.
That's the challenge, right? And that, I think that's why for me, again, at age 53, I started to say, okay, is this who I still want to be?
Yeah.
And if it isn't, then what does it look like to build some new habits, to try some new things, to really be a learner and start experimenting at life again and finding out, is this really who I want to be? Is this really what I want my life to look like? What's driving me?
Yeah.
What are my compulsions? And just starting to unpack some of that stuff.
One of the things that that reminds me of through that conversation is I've been in some sessions before with some different leadership coaches, and they'll say, okay, what are our goals? You know, line those out. And then the question that comes to the next question is, what has to be true in order for this to happen? And that's what I hear you saying. All right, I want my life to change. I want some things to change.
Right.
What has to be true in order for that to happen?
Right.
Well, if I want to be able to slow down and do these things, what has to change? Because I think a lot of times people get in this struggle where they want everything all at the same time. So I want to have a slowed down life.
I'm not the only one.
Yeah. But I also want all these other things.
That's right.
And so
that's
how do you decide?
Family's important. Work is important. My church is important. All of these things. But if I'm trying to do too many things at once, there really is only 24 hours in a day.
Yeah. And what are you actually doing well?
Right.
When you're doing it all simultaneously.
Yeah. That takes me back. My dad used to say something like that, like you can't do everything well.
Yeah.
You really have to decide what you're going to turn your attention towards. I had a great conversation recently with the head of a company, and he was talking about some struggles that he was having. And I said, well, how many direct reports do you have?
Mm-hmm.
And he listed a number. And I said, well, is that manageable for you? Is that manageable for you?
Yeah.
That's not a judgment. That's just a question.
Yeah.
And so we started to unpack, okay, maybe that's not manageable. And maybe it's no wonder why your spouse feels like they're not getting any attention from you.
Yeah.
Because you're accessible to so many people that in the end of the day, you're not really accessible to anyone in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
No judgment, but maybe we want to make a shift in your habits.
Yeah. No, I think that's very applicable, especially to our audience. You know, there's business owners, leaders, managers that are listening going, okay, that's me. You know,
yeah.
I am stretched so thin because there's so many people that I'm responsible for or responsible to that I feel like I'm doing something all the time, but none of it is ever really getting done, completed, or well. I think at every stage of a business growth, there's going to be times that can get way out of control. And if you're not aware of it,
mm-hmm.
right? Self-awareness is a huge component of this.
Yes.
If you're not aware of it, then it can eat you alive. But does it necessarily have to be that way? Does it have to go to that extreme? And that's all about, I guess, the decisions that you make ahead of time on, you know, maybe it's your values, maybe it's specific rules and guidelines that you're going to put in place that say, hey, I don't want that to happen to me. So what has to be true in order for that not to happen?
That's right. And that's when you come back to your values again.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things that I do with people is I love to go through a list of like 140 possible values. Because
oh, wow.
sometimes when I ask you what your values are, you can only think of a few.
Yeah.
But if you've got a nice big list with definitions, you're like, oh yeah, that's really important.
I'll take all 140 of those.
Well, I sort of feel that way sometimes too. But let's narrow it down to like six.
Yeah.
Because again, you can't be in love with everything.
Yeah.
You can't do everything because you're human. Look at, I saw you do that. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, some days I can actually. I'm pretty good at this thing called life. But we are human, and that means we're limited.
Yep.
And that means that if we're really going to be true to our values, we got to decide what those are.
Yep.
And then we have to evaluate ourselves on a daily basis and say, okay, in my value of community,
mm-hmm.
How did I do this week?
Yeah.
Did I, you know, spend time with a friend group? Did I help to build community in my workplace? You know, whatever it is. And if I didn't, well, then I can recalibrate.
Yeah.
Now, as someone who has in the past struggled with perfection,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the hardest things because you don't want to admit to yourself that you screwed up.
Sure.
But if we don't do that, then how do we keep getting better?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in a level of improvement, of constant improvement, you have to evaluate where your failures are so that you can acknowledge them and improve on them. I heard one person say that, you know, values or core values are decisions that you predetermined answers to your decisions, right?
Yes.
So you've already made those in advance, so mm-hmm. you don't have to think about them anymore.
Yes.
You've already said, hey, this is how I want my life to look like. This is how I want my business to look like. This is how whatever. So when anything comes in and you need to make a decision on it, it's already been predetermined.
That's right.
Run it through this filter and move on.
Yes.
So, you know, if a value is community, when an opportunity comes up for community, well, if it doesn't conflict with any of my other values, then let's do it.
That's right.
And it's an easier decision versus just floundering back and forth.
That's right. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah.
It's very interesting.
It's very fun.
So, question for you on this, because I notated a couple of things in here, but I want to try to stay on track as best as possible. Why do you believe coaching is valuable?
Because I needed a coach.
Okay.
I think because I needed someone to come alongside of me who I knew wasn't going to judge me. Because I'm already a harsh enough critic of my own, and someone also that was going to help me hold myself accountable to my own goals.
Okay.
What I found that can get really tricky for any of us who are high achievers and also, I don't know, maybe easily distracted. Is anybody else easily distracted?
Not me.
That's just me. Yeah. Anyway, since I can get easily distracted and like a dog, there's a squirrel. I'm like, squirrel, squirrel. Oh, there's a fun thing to do. There's a fun thing to be a part of. Oh, that. And if I'm not careful, mm-hmm. I can get so involved in so many different things that I'm not staying true to my own goals.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it took me a long time to learn how to play piano. I'm not still in the sixth grade.
And sure.
But I decided I wanted to learn to play piano and I needed somebody to hold me accountable because I'm not very good at self-care. And I think a lot of people who like to serve others mm-hmm. are not always really good at self-care. So
how much does self-awareness play into everything? A lot of what you're talking about, but just in the coaching aspect as well. I feel like that's maybe it's just me, maybe it's just some tunnel that I've fallen down into all of the content that I'm consuming, but it seems like that is an overwhelming theme recently within the last 12, 24 months of being self-aware so that you can make improvements.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see that in the play of this whole aspect of coaching or working with people?
Yeah, I think self-awareness has been the most helpful tool for me in moving forward with my own goals. And yes, everybody's talking about it right now. I think because we went for a long time just doing, and spending some time being with ourselves and understanding ourselves, I guess we started to realize that things weren't always going the way we wanted them to.
Yeah.
Right? Perfect example, right, is, you know, I'm divorced and I'm remarried and I'm done now, right? But if I'm not careful, I won't have learned from the mistakes that I made in my first marriage.
Sure.
If I'm not self-aware about my own habits, then I'm going to make the same mistakes and cause the same trouble that I did before. And I think none of us really wants to keep making the same mistakes over and over again, do we? That's called insanity.
Yeah. Where do you see people clicking with that, where you say, okay, all of a sudden, oh man, I never was aware of that. Like, there's a certain level where you're just kind of going through life and you are not self-aware, mm-hmm. and then something triggers it, something clicks.
Yeah.
How have you seen people adapt to that? Or is there a certain trigger point? Like, how does that happen?
Well, for my clients, so we'll go through the values work,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll also take a test on addictive tendencies.
Mm.
So that we can understand what some of our compulsions are.
Gotcha.
So for me, I was a compulsive doer, and this test helped me to see that. It helped me to see that I'll do for people things that they wouldn't ever ask me to do, but I'll just do them anyway because I want to be nice, because I want to be helpful. Now, this can get really tricky in a marriage relationship. So what I found is I found myself being exhausted because I was constantly doing things for other people and then not feeling filled up myself,
yeah.
Not feeling cared for myself, but I'm responsible for myself. Yeah. So if I don't feel cared for, it's not because somebody else isn't doing it, it's because I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So where does it click for people? Oftentimes in that test.
Gotcha.
They take that test and they're like, oh, I had no idea I was, you know, that my addiction to television was out of control, or my addiction to exercise even was more than I wanted. Okay.
Sure.
Because most of us, my husband's a great example. He loves to exercise because he knows it's something he needs to help keep him sane.
Sure.
But in some respects that can get out of control. And some people will be like, that's okay. I know I'm addicted to exercise and that's okay. That works for me and it's important to me. And that's okay too. But you need to be aware because every yes has a corresponding no.
Mm. That's powerful.
What you say yes to, you're saying no to something else.
Yeah.
Right.
Consistently, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, so you're going through what was the title
addictive
of that test?
Addictive tendencies test.
Addictive tendencies test.
An addictive tendencies test.
So you're defining your values and then you're going to say, okay, what are we have a tendency to be addicted to?
Yeah, work is usually the one that really gets people. They're
sure.
Like, yeah, it's okay to be addicted to work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is it okay for you to be addicted to work? That's up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's affecting other areas of your life, then it's probably not. So, but you have to figure that out.
You have to decide for yourself.
That's interesting. All right. So why is coaching valuable was the question. And you said, because you needed a coach to help hold you accountable. So someone to help kind of keep you on pace, keep you on track, and make sure that those decisions that you're making, you're actually following through on.
And reflecting your own values. Right. Now, I've gone to counseling before,
mm-hmm.
I've gone to pastors before, and I have friends that I talk to, but coaching was different for me because it helped me to have some of my own aha moments.
Gotcha.
Compelled me to make actual changes in my life. When you go to a counselor sometimes, they'll listen to you and then they'll tell you something,
sure.
Right? And you can leave that office and you can either do what they told you to do or not. In coaching, I find that if I can ask a powerful question
mm-hmm.
and they come to that knowledge themselves, then the desire for change comes from within instead of externally.
Well, it's kind of going back to what we were talking a few minutes ago about kind of owning that decision or building those values on your own so that you have buy-in,
mm-hmm.
you're much more likely to stay true to those than if you are adapting someone else's.
That's right.
Because then I guess you don't have either that ownership, that buy-in, you don't have that longevity with it because it's just, that looks good. We'll carry that
mm-hmm.
for a while. But if you're not really passionate about it, if it's not something that you have really, I guess, engaged with, then you have a high likelihood of falling off on it. What are some reasons that people don't think they need a coach?
I think they don't understand what coaching is about. They identify coaching with their sports experience,
sure.
and they think it's a performance coach. This is development, and it's a decision that you make. So with my clients, I'll put together a form, and you'll decide, okay, these are the three goals that I want to accomplish during our 6 months of working together. And so here's an example. Recently with a client, she was telling me about how she was helping some friends going through a very difficult time and how this was important to her and how much time that was taking up in her life. And I asked her, I noticed your, made an observation. Said, I noticed that your energy went down a lot when you were talking about all this help you were giving to other people.
Mm.
I know it's important to you, but your energy went down. And so the question is, how does that relate to the goals that you told me you wanted to accomplish at the beginning of our engagement? My desire is to help you be accountable to your own goals.
Yeah.
How does that help you? And she recognized, oh, wait, all the time I've been spending in my head and in my heart worrying about these other people
mm-hmm.
isn't helping me write the book I want to write.
Yeah.
It's not helping me improve my nutritional habits the way I'd like to. It's not helping me exercise. And so those are good things. She's doing some good things, but it's not what she said she wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
And it's my job to help you stay accountable to what you said you wanted to accomplish.
So, and part of that is essentially helping to create a balanced life.
If that's what the client wants. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'll have a client and I really want to talk to them about nutrition.
Yeah.
Because they talk to me about how they're tired all the time.
Sure.
And like, dude, what'd you eat yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't want to talk about nutrition, we're not going to talk about nutrition.
Gotcha.
If you want to, we will and we'll go there. Because I'm pretty sure that that pasta that you ate is making you feel crappy today. And if you would have had more protein, you would have more energy today.
Yeah.
So
just kind of figuring out, what the person is coming to you and asking for hey, I need you to help me get here.
Yes.
And then you kind of help to determine the plan to get there.
Yeah. Walking alongside them the whole way. Never saying, So the worst habit I used to have as a pastor was giving advice.
Gotcha.
And as a coach, I don't give advice. I'll ask you questions to help you come to your own decisions.
Sure.
I'll offer resources if asked for them, but I'm not going to give you advice unless you specifically ask, and then I'm probably going to try to turn it around on you anyway.
Yeah. That's interesting. There's
because you have truth inside of you.
Yeah.
If people come to me asking for advice, it's because they don't trust themselves.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There was a book that I read, and I've referenced it multiple times on this podcast, but Turn the Ship Around. And one of the whole philosophies behind that is that the empowerment of team members, because they already know what the right answer is. It's just they either lack the confidence to make it, or two, they want to have a scapegoat or place blame on somebody else, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of what I'm hearing you say in that aspect is you already know the answer.
Yes.
You're just needing someone to say, you know the answer, like make the decision or go with your instinct rather than just trying to blame somebody else. Hey, give me advice. Tell me what to do so I can blame you
when it doesn't work, right? For sure. And I think that was the other thing about my switching from working in ministry to what I'm doing now. I kind of stopped trusting my own judgment. I started feeling like I don't even know who I am anymore or what I'm about. And I needed to recalibrate some things in my own life and learn to trust my own voice again. That's been an important process for me.
So through everything that you have been working through your different careers, I mean, you've really spanned a lot of different things. Did you ever expect that you'd be at this point in life?
Well, I would ask you, what do you mean by that? Because does anybody really know where they're going to be? No. Do we hope that we will be fulfilled and live a fulfilling life and live a life that we can look back on and be grateful for and proud of? And is that where I am right now? Yes. I have two beautiful boys who are healthy and happy, and a husband that is working hard at something he loves, and I'm able to support him in that. It looks very different from what it did before, but that's because my version of success is different now than it used to be when I was in television news. And that's an important question to ask yourself all along the way too.
Yeah.
What does success really mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
What does success really mean to you? And in the first third of my life, success meant making as much money as I could.
Yeah.
And having impact and having people know who I was. I felt very invisible when I was a little girl. It's funny because when I think back about it, I was alive when Mount St. Helens blew in Washington State.
Okay.
And I can remember my whole family sitting around the TV watching all of this unfold on television. And I can remember back then thinking, I want to do that. I want to be a part of people just like looking to me for answers. And my version of success is different now. I want to help people find their own answers. I want to help people learn to trust themselves again.
Yeah.
And I want to look back and say that, well, like all of us do, that my life meant something. Not just the columns on a spreadsheet, but that I meant something to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's you're at a place where you can definitely do that, because that's where there's a lot of people that are searching right now. You know, they've kind of unlocked this self-awareness type thing, and now they're just kind of, I don't know what to do from this point, right?
Right, like, right.
I need some accountability. I need some direction on that. So someone to challenge me on a regular basis. I think we all need that at some
mm-hmm.
level.
Mm-hmm.
And
mostly to challenge our mindsets, don't
yeah.
you think?
Oh yeah.
Right. Because that's the thing that can get me stuck a lot of times. I start thinking that I can't do this, or I can't do that, or that I'm not this kind of person, or I'm not that kind of person. Challenging our mindsets, I think. I interrupted you. What
no,
were you getting at?
That's a big component of it.
Yes.
If you can get either a coach or surrounded by some people that have that unrelenting trust that you've built, right? So you've built yeah. trust with people that can be honest with you and challenge you on those things, call you on the carpet on those things. Maybe it's not the advice that you're looking for, but just holding you accountable for those things that you said. I think that's huge, especially in this day and age.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time, and I don't want to hold you longer than we agreed on, but I did want to give you an opportunity. If anybody is listening and says, hey, this is something that I need, this is, you've really kind of struck a nerve with me of thinking that I need some help in this aspect. What is the best way that they can get a hold of you? What are some first steps that you think somebody, or maybe they're on, you know, completely, they say, hey, I want to talk to somebody else, but what are some steps that somebody
yeah.
should take in this aspect?
Yeah. So I love one-on-one coaching. And one of the easiest ways to get in touch with me is to go either to my website, TanyaBLyon.com, or on Instagram. I've got a book button on Instagram, and I am available for a 20-minute call that we can just talk back and forth and get to know one another and find out if we're a good fit. I'm not the perfect coach for everyone.
Maybe I don't want to coach you.
Maybe I don't want to coach you. That's true. Can I just, you know, be honest? I want to find people who want to be coached,
sure.
not who need a counselor.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I'm not an expert in all that stuff, but I can help you with, some things. Right?
Sure.
But I'm not going to be able to help you with all that stuff that happened in your past that you need to talk with your counselor about.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fair, right? So
yeah.
So they can get a hold of you there, and with anybody that's looking for a prospective coach, have that. If somebody just says yes, sign up and put in your credit card information, that's probably not going to get you where you're wanting to go.
Yeah, well, my first contact with you is going to be free anyway.
Sure.
I offer that because, again, I want to make sure that we're a good fit.
Yeah.
And that gives me an opportunity to say no too. Just because I don't want to coach you if you don't want to be coached.
That's very
right?
fair, yeah.
Or if you're crazier than me. Because I know I'm crazy, but if you're even crazier than, no, I'm just kidding. But I really love doing groups too. And I've had the opportunity to coach several groups in the areas of self-care, leadership, team building, collaboration, culture. So I've been able to do that too. And I love that as well.
Awesome. So it can connect with you on your website, and you'll be able to point them in the right direction or tell them to buzz off. One of the two.
It sounds so, that's exactly right. I've never said no to someone that asked for coaching ever. I haven't had to. So I guess that means that the universe is on my side, right?
You've been lucky so far. Yeah. Cool. Thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to sit and chat with us. I've taken a lot away from it, and hopefully it's very beneficial for.
It's so fun for me too. Thank you.
Oh yeah. You. For those listening and watching. So real quick, for those of you, this is your first time. You've jumped on this podcast, this video for whatever reason. We've got plenty of other episodes for you to check out as well. We ask you to subscribe. Check out lockdoc.net/podcast. You can subscribe to all the major podcast platforms there. And there's a version of this in video as well on Facebook and YouTube. You can check out whatever we're doing here with all of the green lights. So be sure to check that out, and we'll be happy to share that with you on our website, lockdoc.net/podcast. Other than that, thank you very much for being here today, and we'll see you next time on the Coffee Break Podcast.
To learn more about the topics discussed today and to connect with us online to hear all of the episodes available, visit lockdoc.net/podcast.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
The Coffee Break Podcast is brought to you by LockDock Security. We'd love to connect with you online on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Just search LockDocInc.